Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A public inquiry into the murders of 29 people, including a woman pregnant with twins, in the Omagh bombing in 1998 has begun in the town this morning. Families of those who died will begin outlining their personal stories and the impact of their loss. The inquiry was established to examine whether the bomb attack in Omagh by the dissident Republican group, the Real IRA, could have been prevented. Well, our reporter Una Kelly is there for us this morning. Good morning, Una.
Good morning, Claire.
So this has been a long campaign for the victims' families to get to this point, hasn't it?
It has indeed, Claire. Almost 27 years now. It was a busy Saturday afternoon in Omagh on the 15th of August 1998 when that large car bomb ripped through the town, killing 29 people, including a woman who was pregnant with twins, and it injured hundreds more. Now, it was just a few months after the signing of the Good Friday Agreement. The Real IRA claimed responsibility in the days after. It was the biggest single loss of life in the history of the Troubles. Now, soon after that, some of the families felt they weren't getting answers to questions that they had about how the bombing was organised and whether steps could have been taken to prevent it. There were also allegations of policing errors and possibly security service cover-up. Almost 27 years on, no one has been convicted of carrying out the murders by a criminal court. Now, over the years, a handful of men have been prosecuted on charges linked to the attack, but each of them were either acquitted or had their convictions overturned on appeal. So there's been many legal twists and turns in the family's campaign for justice. And now this morning, the independent statutory inquiry announced by the UK government has been getting underway. The inquiry is going to examine whether the attack could have been prevented.
But before any evidence is examined now, the focus on the first part, Una, is on those who were affected.
Yes, so we're going to have detailed pen portraits of the victims. They'll be read out during the hearings, in many cases by their relatives. In some cases, it'll be read out by their lawyers. And the idea is similar to the pen portraits that were used in the Stardust inquest recently. It means that relatives will have a chance to talk about the people who were lost and how the loss impacted their lives. Some of the families may also have some photographs and some home videos of their loved ones. And the inquiry Chairman Lord Turnbull has said that he wants to understand the terrible consequences that people suffered because of the bomb. Now, the families have been carrying this for nearly 27 years. Stanley McComb lost his wife Anne in the bombing that day. I spoke to him earlier this morning and I began by asking him to describe his wife Anne.
And one of the nicest people that you could ever, or person that you could have ever met. Very caring and just loved her family and loved everybody around her. Good girl.
Mm-hmm. I suppose coping with that loss over the past 27 years as a family, how did you manage it?
It's been rough, really rough. And I suppose only people in my position, and I mean there's thousands in my position in this country and all over, and they're the people who know. There's a lot of hidden things that you don't share, but It's been really, really tough. And I think as the years goes on, you know, it's 26 years since Anne was murdered in Omagh, and it's even tougher now as you get older. Because you don't, you know, nobody knows how long they have got left in this world. And as I said, you know, to everybody that I've talked to, I made a promise when Anne was murdered that I would fight for truth and justice.
And that's Stanley McComb there, who lost his wife, Anne. So, Una, who has been speaking at the hearing so far this morning?
Well, it started just after 10 o'clock at the Struil Arts Centre here in Omagh, and there were opening remarks by the inquiry chairman, Lord Turnbull. He said that he hopes that the pen portraits will bring content and meaning to the bare facts and numbers. He said that it's important in informing and educating others on the effect of terrorist violence, and that those who supported or condoned it will learn about the consequences for innocent people and their community. He also said that for those beyond Omagh, they'll be shocked at the level of grief that has been imposed in the community, and that those who watch the evidence in the pen portraits will be overwhelmed and humbled on hearing of the appalling injuries inflicted and of the dignity and compassion of those whose lives were changed forever. We then heard some of the introductory remarks from the counsel to the inquiry, Paul Greeny, KC. He set out the context of the Good Friday Agreement, but mentioned that the malevolent forces, in his words, remained. That was dissident republicanism. He said that during the inquiry, we will refer to these people as what they were. Terrorists. He added that what was done that day here in Omagh was an act of savagery. When it came to commenting on the evidence, he said it will be distressing to listen to, but that it's vital that it's heard and heard in public. He added that the inquiry aims to put those who deserve explanations at the heart of the process. He also said that at this stage of the inquiry, they won't be looking at what went wrong on the day itself or looking to criticise anyone except those who carried out the attacks. But in this section of the inquiry, they're going to focus on the families. Then just before 10:30, the names of those who died were read out and there was a minute's silence. Now at the moment, he's just going through the historical background to the events of that day. And later today and this afternoon, we're going to hear the pen portraits of two victims from Madrid in Spain. They were part of a Spanish-Irish language exchange program. They were 12-year-old Fernando Blasco Balsega. He was in Omagh as part of a visit to the nearby Ulster American Folk Park that day. His sister, Donna Marie, was also a student on that trip, and she suffered some serious facial injuries in the explosion. This afternoon, we're expecting to hear the commemoration of 23-year-old Rocio Abad Ramos by Paloma Abad Ramos. She was supervising the exchange program. She'd been due to return to Spain for her sister's wedding, and she was just a month away from finishing her biology degree.
Okay, so that's part of the pen portraits that we'll hear in relation to all of the victims. Who else will we hear from throughout the process?
So the pen portraits hearings last for 2 weeks. That's then followed by a week of statements by survivors of the atrocity. Then there will be a week of the stories of the emergency service members who dealt with the aftermath. Now, the inquiry hearing is open to the public and to the media. We're expecting people to attend, like the bereaved families and their friends, people who were injured, and just members of the Omagh community. There's a public gallery here, and the proceedings are also being broadcast on the inquiry's YouTube channel with a slight time delay. Now, taking part in the pen portraits is a voluntary process, and the inquiry has said that it respects the wishes of some of the family members who don't want to contribute, but they do want to commemorate all 31 lives lost. So where the family members themselves have decided not to take part in this, the inquiry is going to produce its own commemoration based on information in the public, with the family's permission, of course. And this part of the inquiry is due to last until the 20th of February. Then the evidential hearings are expected to be heard before the summer.
And as part of those evidential hearings, we will hear, or they will include, contributions from the Irish government.
Yes, that's what we're expecting. The Omagh bomb was made in the Republic. The bombers came from there on the day and returned to there. The inquiry chairman, Lord Turnbull, said he expects to require evidence, information, and potentially witnesses from the Republic. Now, that could include the disclosure of some sensitive information and intelligence in files held by the Irish state. Lord Turnbull has said that he's encouraged by statements made so far by the Irish government. Last year, the then Taoiseach Micheál Martin said that they were very clear that there would be full cooperation with the inquiry, although some families have criticised the Irish government for resisting calls for a parallel public inquiry in the Republic. Micheál Martin said at the time that one inquiry was optimal and two overlapping ones wouldn't make sense. But now, Claire, after decades of legal battles, there is a sense of anticipation that the public inquiry will provide some of the answers that the families are looking for.
Well, let's hope they get those answers. It's a very important and historic day for all of those families affected by what happened in Omagh in 1998. Una Kelly, thank you very much. Coming up, we hear more about the ongoing impact of Storm Eowyn. That's next.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.